You know, I heard a guy say one time the devil had a yard sale. And at the devil's yard sale, he had anger, he had bitterness, he had unforgiveness, and he had a bunch of tools on sale. And somebody came and, you know, they were looking to cause somebody to stumble, and they began to look at the tools that the devil had. And these all were at a decent price. But the devil had one, and it was the most expensive tool that he had. And the person that came, you know, looking over these tools that they could buy, you know, they were, they had unforgiveness, and so they, you know, they wanted to buy that one. They had anger, they wanted to buy that one. But and those were all cut rate, right? But there was one that was the highest one in the yard sale, and that was discouragement. And somebody asked the devil, "Why does that one cost so much?" He said, "Because that is my most valuable tool." Because you see, a discouraged Christian is a worthless Christian.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Discouragement, Stay on the Wall. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Discouragement, Stay on the Wall.
Have you ever had one of those days when nothing seems to go right? From forgetting where you put your keys to catching every red light. A man named Murphy had a law about how things go wrong. Things that rob you of your joy and take away your song. One of those days when your dreams turn to nightmares, like falling down the long spiral case stairs. One of those days when discouragement is your best friend. Dismay your brother who abides with you until day's end. It's like you made a wrong turn on what's the use road. Traveling the highway is like carrying a heavy load. In your mind, this is some place that you've been before. The scenery is so familiar, like walking on a sandy shore. The only phone number you remember is 1-800 who cares. But you can't call because you left your phone downstairs. You feel frustrated, irritated, aggravated, exasperated, dominated, desecrated, devastated, and decimated. Important matters take second place to insignificant distractions. It's like your time is being filled with worthless transactions. You feel like you want to go back to bed and start all over again because the wheels of your life this day just spin and spin. Like a hamster moving on a slow-moving wheel, you're going nowhere with no purpose to fulfill. With feet stuck in the mud with every step you take, oh my goodness, you can't seem to get a break. Lost with no sense of purpose or direction, discouraged, depressed, and overcome with dejection. The answers to your problems lie right before you on display. When you reach out to grab them, they seem like miles away. You feel so low, that bottom looks like up. So low, you feel like the last drop of water in the cup. So low, you are being trampled by a colony of ants, lower than the cuffs on a pair of dress pants, lower than the temperatures that are sub-zero, lower than a fallen and disgraced superhero. Lower than a pothole on an unkept road. Lower than the belly of an overweight toad. Lower than a pair of socks without elastic. Lower than a mat made of synthetic plastic. All the forces of the world are coming against you. How to overcome them, you haven't a clue. You say to your soul, flee like a bird to his nest. Take wings like a dove and fly and be at rest. So when nothing seems to be going right and all you can do is moan, press on, don't lose heart. God is still on the throne. Today, we want to talk about discouragement and how that in the midst of discouragement, and maybe you had one of those days like I explained in the poem, and it seems like, and I like that one section there where it seems like discouragement is your best friend, and we've all had those days, but it's in those days that God calls us to stay on the wall. Don't be discouraged, that God is still on the throne. Amen. The writer of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." And we begin the message by describing what is discouragement. You know, what is discouragement? And Proverbs 15, 13 kind of wraps it up in a nice, neat little package for us because it gives us an accurate description of discouragement. It says, by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. This means that some offense has been committed which causes the heart to become sorrowful and in turn brings about a broken spirit. And this is a loss of enthusiasm, a loss of spirit, a loss of heart, a loss of courage, if you will. That something happens that it's like a balloon that has air in it, and that somebody comes and pops the balloon and lets all the air out. You know, I think of two situations in my life where this has happened. One was when the doctor told me, and I kind of knew that was coming, but I didn't really want to hear the news that I had diabetes, you know. And it was like when I sat there and he said it, you know, you know for years, you know, you think that, you know, your health is good, and then, you know, you hear something negative about your health. And I remember sitting there, and after I left, I text my wife. And I think I put something to the effect that can't believe it, got diabetes, but it's my own fault, you know. And it just like seemed like all the air had gone out of my spirit. And then the other time was just last year, that when I went through a series of tests and the doctor told me, you know, it seems like you might have had a heart attack or a couple small heart attacks. And man, you know, that just does something to you. It just takes, as it says there, your enthusiasm. It takes your spirit. It takes your heart. And that sometimes, you know, things that discourage us come into our lives. And it takes that heart away. It takes that spirit out of our lives. You go to that next slide. The characteristics of discouragement. Charles Stanley says this about discouragement. He says that discouragement is universal. Well, when we say it's universal, you know, what does that mean? That means that it happens to everyone, that there's no one that's immune from discouragement, that it happens to the best of us, you know, from young children to elderly individuals, that it runs the gamut, right? That discouragement can happen to anyone. The thing that we see also is that discouragement is reoccurring. You know, wouldn't it be nice if you could just get all the discouragement out of the way at one time, right? Just all the discouragement is gone, and then you don't ever have to worry about it again. But the thing about discouragement is that it's reoccurring, that sometimes when you wake up in the morning, it's staring you right in the face, that it went to bed with you last night, you tossed and turned all night long, and when you woke up in the morning, it was right there with you. You know, it just, you know, comes and comes and comes. Stanley says that discouragement is contagious. That if you get around discouraged people, guess what? you're going to get it too. You know, there's a virus that's going around, you know, coming out of China. And so, you know, they're keeping people in China. And then there was a group of people that were from America, and they flew back to America. Now they got them quarantined in some place, and they're not letting them out for 2 weeks. Why? Because they don't want it spreading to other people. And that if we find ourselves, and if our spirit is not strong, and we find ourselves around discouraged people, that we will end up being discouraged ourselves. You know, that's why, you know, we need to be on guard, you know, who we hang out with. And if we come into the presence of discouraged people, then, you know, we ought to have the attitude that we're coming to be a source of encouragement, that we're not going to let that rub off on us and bring us down also. So discouragement is contagious. It's unpredicted. You never know when it's going to strike you. You know, you can be going along, it seems like you're having a great day, and then something comes along that just for a second, and it just jumps on you, and it just takes all your joy away. It robs your joy. And then, praise God, that Stanley concludes that if you know how to handle discouragement, that discouragement is temporary. It's temporary. You know what somebody said, that my favorite verse is it came to pass. And somebody said, well, why is that your favorite verse? Because, praise God, it didn't come to stay. And so, all depending on how you handle discouragement will let us know how long it's going to stick around. If you do a poor job handling discouragement, it'll stay around for a long time. I like this. Stanley also says, disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. If I'm discouraged, it's because I choose to be discouraged. You know, you can do something about discouragement. You know, I think about how that whenever, you know, you might be in intense fellowship with your spouse, and as you are in intense fellowship, and I know that y'all don't get in intense fellowship with your spouse, you know what intense fellowship is. Intense fellowship, right? And your countenance is fired up, and you know your emotion has been jacked up, and then all of a sudden the phone rings, and you say, "Hello." So just that quick, you have come down off of whatever emotional range that you were on. Pulled it together, and you are able to deal with the situation at hand. And so, you know, let this quote, as we think about this message here, let it burn in your spirit. Let it just carve in your heart. Disappointments are inevitable. They are inevitable. You are going to get disappointed. And you know, sometimes you may get disappointed 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a day. But discouragement is a choice. You know, it's like I say, you're either in a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. And so we see that there's a word for us in the Word of God, and that is that we need to stay on the wall. If you look at your notes, it says the causes of discouragement. So let me introduce this section here. By saying, while in captivity, Nehemiah got the word that the wall around the city of Jerusalem was lying in ruins. God called him to lead an effort to go back and rebuild the wall. As we read this endeavor in the book of Nehemiah, we see that it was not an easy task because it was met with much discouragement. Nehemiah faced several obstacles that attempted to discourage him. These can also try to dishearten us. And they are, number one, criticism. Criticism. Whenever you are on the wall of what God has called you to do, whether it be ministry, whether it be at work, in the home, if God has called you to do a good thing, you can believe it that around the corner somewhere is the Cold Water Committee. And, you know, someone is there ready to squash your dreams, douse your vision, and cause you to quit and get on the side of the road. Now, one of Satan's biggest tools, you know, I heard a guy say one time the devil had a yard sale. And at the devil's yard sale, he had anger, he had bitterness, he had unforgiveness, and he had a bunch of tools on sale. And somebody came and, you know, they were looking to cause somebody to stumble, and they began to look at the tools that the devil had. And these all were at a decent price. But the devil had one, and it was the most expensive tool that he had. And the person that came, you know, looking over these tools that they could buy, you know, they were, they had unforgiveness, and so they wanted to buy that one. They had anger, they wanted to buy that one. But and those were all cut rate, right? But there was one that was the highest one in the yard sale, and that was discouragement. And somebody asked the devil, why does that one cost so much? He said, because that is my most valuable tool. Because you see, a discouraged Christian is a worthless Christian. And so I have a high price and a high premium on this one right here. And so we realize that discouragement comes right from the pit of hell. Now, it may be other people that come and other people that bring it, but you can be assured that discouragement through criticism is not of God. And so look at Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Criticism, as Nehemiah sets out to build a wall. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and felt great indignation and mocked the Jews. And so here comes opposition in the form of criticism. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish the wall in a day? Will they receive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish, seeing they are burned? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. So wherever there's critics, wherever there's one critic, there's two critics. All right? And he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall. He said that. And a fox, you know, he didn't say an elephant. He didn't say a rhinoceros. He said that your work is so insignificant that if a little tiny fox just touches the wall, it's going to fall down. And you know what? That can be very discouraging. You know, when you think about what we say and how we say it to people. You know, I've shared this illustration before. I remember the first church that I was in. We would have church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And, every time we had church, you know, we sang songs. That's why I know the old hymn so well, because every time we had church, we sang out of the hymn book. And we had a piano player, and she would play. And I remember on one particular occasion, I came in, and I was just, I don't know, for some reason, I just filled with the Spirit. I was excited. And I just happened to notice the piano player up there playing. And I thought that I was giving her a word of encouragement. And I went up to her, and I said, you know, you really should smile when you play that piano. Whoa. You talking about the air out of somebody's balloon, you know? And so you see that even sometimes criticism could be that you have the right intention. But, you know, sometimes there are some things that don't need to be said, right? And so criticism is a cause of discouragement. We know also that resistance can be a cause of discouragement. Look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem went forward and the breaches began to close, they were very angry and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to consider it. That when God has called you to do something, keep in mind that at some point there's going to be some resistance. The fact of the matter is, and I heard somebody say this, and I hate to say this because I don't want it to be true of my life, but somebody said that if you're doing something and you're not getting any resistance, then you really need to ask yourself, are you doing the right thing? right? Because, you know, again, you know, we want, and I'll tell you what, I'll just be honest with you. You know, I hate conflict. I really hate conflict. But, you know, when you see things, and if God has laid something on your heart, something to do, then we might need to come to the realization that if we're just tiptoeing through the tulips without any resistance, that we might need to stop somewhere and begin to question, you know, are we doing what God told us to do, or are we doing it the way that God told us to do it? Because there's the critics that are out there, and that they're not only going to criticize, but they're also going to resist. And then we see what is another cause of discouragement? Just overwhelming problems, right? One problem after another, after another, after another, and it just takes the wind out of your sail. Look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10. Overwhelming problems. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden is decay, and there is much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, keep in mind that when the Jews went into captivity, what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He tore down the wall. And it was just a pile of rubbish. And now Nehemiah's going back, and he's looking at it, and it seems like the problems are overwhelming. It seems like, man, there's just so much here to do. Yeah, I'm often reminded, and this happened several times in the 30 years that I've lived in my home, where in my garage, the sewage has backed up. And, you know, if you've ever gone and you've seen sewage that has backed up, and I don't mean just a little puddle, I mean the to the place where it's all over, got on things, right? What's the first thing that you say? Now, maybe there's some of you who are super spiritual. Praise God! Look at this! Wow! Man, this is exciting! Right? You know, my first thought is, oh, no. I mean, man, you're talking about something that's discouraging. You're talking about something that will just deflate you in a second. And so sometimes overwhelming problems can be those things that cause discouragement in our life. When we just look at what's around us and we look at it, it just seems like the problems are many and they just keep.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part one of Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Discouragement, Stay on the Wall, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Discouragement, Stay on the Wall. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Discouragement, Stay on the Wall. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.